We're continuing on with our Sermon on the Mount series that we've been speaking about in the mornings and doing devotions on. And so tonight I'm just continuing on where the last devotion finished. So that's in Matthew chapter 6. And we're reading from verse 19. Lay up treasures in heaven. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. In history, there's been quite a bit of debate about the Sermon on the Mount. Some people have said, well, that's all to do with the future. That's when Jesus returns. It's got nothing to do with us today. And of course, that seems blatantly wrong. But when you read the Sermon on the Mount, you think this is what living in the kingdom is all about. And as we've been going through Matthew 6, as Ben has already said, it's about worshipping God, who is the audience of one. If I'm to do worship, it's not just to get people looking at me. Look how much Gerald gives. Look at Gerald's worship. Look at the way Gerald can pray. It's about remembering that we serve God as our audience of one. He is the only one that counts when it comes to living for him. What is his attitude to me? Now, this is a great difficulty and struggle for all of us, I'm sure. We're always so interested in how others perceive us. And sometimes we're even critical of ourselves, and we look too much at ourselves, even in how we give and in our worship, just too conscious of ourselves and not conscious enough of God. But we've moved on from that, you know, worshipping an audience of one, really to serving an audience of one, or serving God. That's what this particular section is all about, serving God, making him the focus and priority in our lives. And as you know, as with everything else in the Sermon on the Mount, this is a terribly difficult struggle that we have as Christian people, living for Jesus every day. Because our minds so easily move on to the treasures and things of this world. Now, the word treasure can mean different things to different people. For some, it is money, as this particular passage talks about. For some, it might be their standing in their community. Could be their popularity on Facebook or whatever, at school or whatever. It could be just knowing that people like them. For some, it could be fitness or beauty. It could be possessions, of course, all kinds of resources. The word mammon, or money, that we see translated here is really from another word called mammon. And mammon not just includes money, but resources, possessions, anything that is of value to us. So we're talking about treasure. You know, where does your mind go when you think about treasure in your own life? Perhaps to a relationship, your husband or wife, your children. But God is saying that He must be the treasure in our life. He must be where our minds focus. He must be the one we give our allegiance to and our obedience to first and foremost in our lives. And as I said, this is a tremendous challenge. And so Jesus gives us a number of reasons here why we should store up treasures in heaven. Well, why you shouldn't store up treasures on earth, we should start with that. And he tells us straight away in his word here, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Why is that? It's something we all know is just obvious, and that is that treasures always disappear. You can't keep them. And I put it this way, your treasure will rather die to you or you will one day die to your treasure. But whichever way it is, you can't hold on to it for eternity. That is just obvious. And everything we value in life sort of gets old, be it a car that ends up at a tip, a house that's demolished and a new one put in its place. You might have had a lot of money in the stock market in February, but in March it wasn't looking so good. Treasure can disappear just like that. And we know it from just reading the newspapers, how wealth disappears. People have millions of dollars and then they don't have anything at all. And so moth, rust, just talk about the corrosion of treasure, be it a house, a car, clothes, whatever. Thieves break in and steal just talks about the fact that there's always someone out there trying to get it. And we always know that just when the phone rings nowadays and there's some person wanting to take your money on the other end. It's just so obvious, and yet, even though we know it's obvious, we still have this thing in our minds that somehow you can hold on to earthly treasures. Why is that? It's just like that, it seems. The second thing about this is what Jesus says here, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth rust do not destroy. But then in verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And so what Jesus is saying here is that if our focus is on our treasures and not on the treasure which is God, a relationship with God, then we are bringing amazing darkness into our own lives. And isn't that true? As things disintegrate or wealth is lost, or popularity disappears, as your body can't do the things it once did, and if that was all your focus and all your energy went into that area, then all you are doing to yourself is bringing upon yourself depression and gloom and disappointment. And if you were a follower of the stock market, then if your stocks are going up, you feel good because your treasure's growing. Ops, well, you end up idolizing your treasure, and your treasure really doesn't care at all for you anyway. So Jesus is saying if our focus is on earthly treasure, not only can it just disappear, but it brings a great darkness into our own lives because we are looking at something that can be wonderful in a sense, but then also something that can just undermine and destroy us. from within as we are disappointed with the progress then of our treasure. The third thing Jesus says here, very obviously, is that you can't have it both ways. You can't have God as your treasure and at the same time have your mammon, your human resources as your treasure. You can't focus on the two things at once. It's just not possible. And so when Jesus talks about kingdom living, he's just reminding us constantly to get the focus right in our lives. We worship an audience of one, we serve an audience of one, and Jesus must be our treasure. God must be our treasure. Honouring God must be the treasure in our lives. Now, of course, when you read a passage like this, you can come to some wrong conclusions. Is Jesus banning owning things? Is he saying houses and cars are of no consequences? Your health is of no consequence. And I want to say categorically, he's not saying that at all. There are lots of proverbs that speak about collecting and accumulating things. Look to the ant, you sluggard. As Christian people, we're meant to be active in this world, but the things we work for, the human things, must never be the treasure that we work for. It's not against saving up for a rainy day or for your retirement. It's not saying that. But it's against putting your hope in them. Jesus is against us thinking that this is our hope, this is our life, what we possess. And Jesus makes that so obviously clear here. Then we come across the words, but store up your treasure in heaven. And of course we think to ourselves, what does that mean? How do you store up treasure in heaven? I've had discussions with some of my children about this, and I've read a few commentaries on it as well, trying to understand what is this treasure in heaven that we're aiming for. And I kind of agree with some of the commentaries that say we just know it to be true that there's treasure in heaven, but how we define that is far more difficult to understand. What Jesus is urging us to do here, and this is how we build this treasure in heaven, is to serve him now, to live for him now, to make him our first priority now, to serve his kingdom, to live in obedience to him, the one who has done so much for us. And brothers and sisters, the key to all this is to understand that Jesus is our treasure. That Jesus is the most precious thing to us, because when we have a relationship with him, it goes on into eternity. Just further on in Matthew, you get two parables, very short parables in Matthew chapter 13. Allow me to read them to you. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. You see how it works? You have to forsake to gain. And Jesus is the most precious relationship we can have, and it's a relationship that goes from here to eternity. In Colossians 2, verse 4, we read these encouraging verses. My purpose is that you may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Why is kingdom living so valuable? Why is Jesus so valuable? Well, Ramses said it in his prayer, didn't he? Just a little bit earlier. If he hadn't heard the preacher, hadn't confessed his sin, hadn't come to Jesus, he would be the saddest person in the whole world. The Bible says he would be lost. He'd be living in the darkness. And brothers and sisters, when we look around us at society today, how dark is that darkness? People chasing wealth. People finding hope somehow in their identity. It just feels like, to me, society is disintegrating as we, instead of following Jesus and God, we just follow any kind of selfishness in our own hearts, and we think to ourselves, there's my hope. This is the salvation of the world. When you look at all those protests, is that the salvation of the world? When you see so much selfishness in society, is that the hope of the world? When you see so many lost people, is that the hope of the world? That is just darkness. It's ignoring God, living for yourself, and it's a slippery slope into despair, depression, and sadness. Jesus is writing these words to the Christian. He's writing it to you and me. He's saying to us as Christian people, don't lose your focus. Continue to honour Jesus as King because he's our Saviour, he's our Lord, he died on the cross for us. His kingdom is full of life, he says life to the full. It's filled with happiness, purpose, joy, satisfaction. It goes on for eternity. As Christian people, that has to be our focus. And of course, just like you, me, we so easily get distracted from that one main purpose. We take our eyes off Jesus. And always think of the Apostle Peter at this point, who just sunk. Jesus called him out of the boat on the Sea of Galilee because Jesus was walking on the water to the boat. And Peter said, if that's you, Lord, bid me come and I will come. And he started to walk on the water and he took his eyes off Jesus and he sank. And as Christian people, we take our eyes off Jesus and we sink into the darkness. That's what Jesus is urging us to do here, to get the focus right. I need to get my focus right. You need to get your focus right. Because if you put your hope in the treasures, the mammons of this world, how great is that darkness, says Jesus. It's a strong message that Jesus has for us here. When you have your focus on the kingdom, you become light and salt in the world. You know, King David made many bad choices in life, and sometimes his eyes left God and focused on many dark aspects of life. And he committed adultery and murder. But God always brought him back to himself. He confessed his sin. He was restored. And we read his Psalms today and we're encouraged by them. King Solomon did lots of bad things in his life. And yet he provides us with so much of the wisdom literature we have in the Old Testament. Our natural inclination is always to turn our eyes from Jesus. That's why we come to church. That's why we're listening here tonight. It's because Jesus is urging us to get the focus where it should be. When do I feel depressed and down and in the darkness. I'm going to take my eyes off Jesus, our King. When do you? Isn't it the same for you? When you take your eyes off Jesus and his kingdom, seek ye first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of Christ, and everything else will be given to you. We have to hold that as a promise, but we have to hear the urging of it. When do we fall down into the darkness? When we forget to look at Jesus and we don't pray anymore. When we forget to look at Jesus and our eyes just turn to the materialism of the world in which we live. This is going to affect our marriages, our children. It's Father's Day today. When a father or mother takes their eyes off Jesus, it affects the family. It affects everyone in it. If we take our eyes off Jesus, how great is that darkness? But if we focus in on Jesus, our King, and we pray and we give him the glory and we think to ourselves, how might I serve him today? How might I bring him glory today? Then how great is the light that comes into our heart, in our hearts? How great is the joy that we have? How great is the impact that has on those around us? How great then is that light? And there is treasure in a heaven which I can't describe, but which Paul says is better than anything we can imagine or think about. So that's what I want to urge you today. Jesus, I think, is writing to Christians, and he's saying to us, get the focus right. Get it on me. And everything else will fall into place as it should. Amen.